Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program, presented as always by McDonald's. Go get you some all-day breakfast, all day or any time of the day you want. Listen, we have a lot to get to here. I can't recall being so excited to kibitz about a weekend of pro football as I am to talk about this one. Coming up, wild card round review. There were a couple of very, very painful losses if you were a fan or a player for, well, all four teams are probably feeling down in the loser's bracket, but two especially really jumped out as some especially tough losses to take. And Martavis Bryant, you know, the greatest catch of all time is now considered to be Odell Beckham, but we might need to update that based on what Martavis Bryant did on Saturday night. We'll get into all that and more. Let's go around. Let's say hello to everybody, starting off with my man who on Saturday, on Sunday, we did a little bit of game day blitz. If you've been watching that on NFL Now throughout the season, we're doing a little modified version of it through the playoffs. We're doing, you know, about 45 minutes or an hour's worth of it. Maurice, Bucky, Colleen Wolf, and I did that. We'll do it again this week. I'm speaking, of course, about Maurice Jones-Drew. What's the poop, fella?
I'm chilling, Shaq. How are you, man?
I'm feeling good.
You're feeling good. This wasn't the best weekend of football. Last weekend was, because if it wasn't for the Bills beating the Jets, brother, you wouldn't be in the situation you are right now, all happy and ready to go.
The football gods wanted what they wanted, and we as fans benefited from it, I think, for the most part. It was, like I say, the weekend's action, bum first game, forgettable last game, but in between, two juicy ones.
Bum first game? You kidding me?
That was fun. Yeah, I mean, it was fine, but it wasn't if you're a Texans fan, there wasn't a lot to be excited about. Next up, let's say hello to the 12-year veteran of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Seated to my immediate left, although handsome is usually there, but instead, it's Ike Taylor. What's the poop, fella?
Hi.
Hi, Ike. How you doing?
Good.
A pleasure to see you once again.
Thanks for having me.
I would expect that he'll be more expansive as we get into the wild card round and beyond. And lastly, but not leastly, he's feeling good because he's our resident Miami Dolphins fan. He comes from all the way over in London, England. It's Handsome Hank, everybody. I have to say, even I no longer feel comfortable with Handsome having an intro and Maurice and Ike not having one.
I mean, you've been saying you was going to get us one.
Since
August.
Belated August. Christmas present. By this time next week, if you do not have intro music, shame the devil, and I walk out the door, and you guys just do the show.
Is that really going to happen, though?
Yeah, it's going to – will I leave? Yeah. I'm a man of my word. I'm a man of honor. True.
You know, since Ike beat Black Tie in basketball, we never going to get that, right?
No.
Oh, if Black Tie were in charge.
He doesn't have anything to do with that.
No, he doesn't.
What the score was?
7-2.
Yeah. Well, 2-2 for a bit.
2-2 said Black Tie at one point. Hey, Handsome, how are you feeling about Gase?
Gase.
Adam Gase era begins.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not that excited about it. It's the same as the last three highs the Dolphins made.
I feel like this is hard to get really excited about. So let's move on. We'll see what happens there. The coaching picture is
Maurice
coming into focus.
Maurice has something to say about it.
Yeah. No, that was just funny that he was like, oh, that's it.
I think that's reaction from Dolphins. Yeah, Dolphins fan.
He's scoring.
You feel that way, Hanson?
Every time he did it. Get excited about a new coach, new era, all the hype.
Hugh Jackson, there would have been excitement. Mm-hmm. Tom Coughlin, completely different, but excitement.
Right.
Adam Gase is kind of like,
He's like the smart. He's like the smart kid in your class. It's like, I don't want to hang out.
Is he?
Well, apparently that's what he's being sold as. Well, I want to see who he hires, because Joe Philbin's staff, like, they all left at the end of this season, and now they're receivers coach at the University of Cincinnati or something like that. That's not going to work. He needs to hire good staff.
I want to talk about this. No offense, but that's one of the 20 have-nots. I want to talk about the 12 teams that made it in to the annual pro football tournament in January. It's heating up, and by the way, it's the best tournament still in all of sports. I think we can agree on that. March Madness is good. NBA playoffs have their charm. But, I mean, listen, this is where it's at. Let's get to very important stuff here and take a look at the updated playoff picture. After a wild, wild card round, like I say, of course you already know this, the Kansas City Chiefs took down the Texans. And let's start there real quick because, listen, no jive. We only have so much time here to kibitz amongst the four of us. And I don't want to waste time going too deep on the Chiefs-Texans game because it just plain wasn't all that compelling. But, Ike, how surprised were you? Because I know you had the Texans with good reason because that defense was dynamite for the last 4 or 5 weeks there. But the Chiefs really had the better of them from the word go.
I wasn't surprised. Mm-hmm. But I was surprised by the 5 takeaways Kansas City generated, and you get an interception, a punt, a field goal, a punt. So technically, you're not scoring on offense. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to keep saying that. In order for KC to win, it has to be touchdowns by their special teams or their defense. Yep. Because Alex Smith is not trained to come from 10 to 14 behind. Mm-hmm. He's trained to be above schedule. So when you're up 14-0, I can start handing the ball off a little bit more, make a few more passes. He was 17 to 22. Very efficient. But we still ain't generating sevens. We only had one touchdown.
I would push back on that. Were Jeremy Maclin healthy going into Foxborough? Right. But now my enthusiasm for the Chiefs, I have to rein it in a little bit. We're going to get to that round in just a second here. But you see the teams. You know the teams that have advanced into the divisional round. We're going to tell you who we think is the wild card winner that has the best chance of winning this coming weekend. Meantime, let's talk about it. And I'm not doing – say whatever you want. Dave's a Steelers homer, and that's why he wants to talk about it. Ike Taylor played for the Steelers. No, I want to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals last Saturday night because it was – and easy to say that you're being hyperbolic again, Dave. That was the weirdest game I've ever seen in college or pro football ever. Maurice, agree or disagree?
I thought it was the epitome of football. You know, we talked about this earlier. It was hard-hitting. It was defense. Guys were battling back and forth. Pittsburgh gets out to a great lead. Injuries come in. Guys have to make, you know, come back and help. Landry Jones is Landry Jones. And he almost, you know, sealed your fate. But because Jeremy Hill was careless with the ball, you got a chance to get back in. You saw Big Ben come back, and they made a run down at the end to kick a field goal to win.
That was very fine analysis, Maurice, except for the fact that, yeah, it was fun. It was interesting. And I, Coach Tomlin after the game said it, and a lot of people, it's already rubbed people the wrong way, and you could tell that it would. He said, hey, I thought both teams represented the AFC North, and people furrow their brow, and, oh, that was ugly out there. It might sound like rhetoric, but, hey, listen, like it or not, it's nasty, and those teams really don't like each other. And they both like to play with that physical edge. It's not for everybody. It wouldn't go. I mean, like, for instance, the Atlanta Falcons in a game like that would be a wreck from the word go. Certain teams with all the back history, Reggie Nelson put Le'Veon Bell out in Week 17 last year. Then Vontaze Burfict puts out Le'Veon Bell this year. Then he puts out Big Ben Roethlisberger. And there's heat. And then the Bengals, rightly, feel like, well, Ryan Shazier crossed the line with Gio Bernard and Mike Munchak crossed the line with Reggie Nelson, grabbing his hair, all that. Objectively, Handsome Hank, you're watching that one. You have no stake in this game. Was that the weird am I going too far saying that's the weirdest game?
I mean, the end was really weird, but I agree with MJD. It was a fun game to watch. It had everything. It had all the different storylines you want to get from out of a football game. Like you say, injuries, surprises, players coming up and playing in a playoff game, playing better than they've ever played before in their lives. And then the end was weird. The end was definitely weird.
Ike, what did you make? Let's try to go through it because there's so many moments that stand out. My pal, former Pittsburgh guy who's now a prominent sports writer, Sean Conboy, said that the Martavis Bryant catch is maybe the weirdest catch or the greatest catch of all time, and it's about ninth or tenth on the list of weird things that happened in that game. Let's start off with the first one that jumped out to me. What did you think about Mike Munchak and Reggie Nelson's little run-in on the sideline?
Yeah, coach can't do that. Coach can't do that.
Oh, really? I thought it was really –
No, because they're
a homer, Shaq.
All right, maybe I am.
Their reaction. Like, if a coach for Cincinnati would have touched me that way, I'm going to headbutt him. I'm going to break his nose, and I'm going to try to give him a black eye. Because you can't touch me. Because as soon as I get over to your sideline, I'm trying to duck and dodge you so I don't touch you because you might react a certain way.
Is there any way he did it by accident?
Huh?
No.
No,
he didn't pull his hair on purpose.
He didn't
though.
Pull his
I don't
hair
think
on
he pulled
purpose.
His hair.
What he did was
Reggie Nelson's
was
hair
to,
is arm length. So like he tried
he
to grab his arm.
To stop
don't
him.
Matter. Still.
All right, I'm just saying. I don't think he intentionally.
It don't matter.
His hair.
Still don't do that. You got other things to yank. Don't yank my hair. Because if you pull my hair, we got problems. And since I got this helmet on, I'm gonna go ahead and give you this quick hair button to see that blood go down.
I feel like, and true or false, fellas. There, anybody who looks at an individual moment and says, like, well, that was out of bounds, or, you know, that or that play was out of line, that should have been flagged, isn't it? I mean, it's human nature. It's an accumulation. And I feel like both sides, if you're a Bengals fan, you felt like the Steelers are doing terrible things out there to our guys. And if you're a Steelers fan or player, you're looking at it and thinking, like, hey, flag the Bengals for what they're doing right now. And one thing informs the next thing. It's like dominoes. And it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And to the point, I started to get a little, like, scared in my belly. I thought, I like to watch football, Shaq. But a game like that reminds me, Shaq. I would do very poorly if I ever had to go out. I would cry.
This is a guy who 2 weeks ago was saying he thinks he could lead a quarterback, lead a drive.
In 2005, we had that same bully mentality for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, the only time we was getting flagged back in the day was you standing over somebody and showboating. But all that Antonio Brown hits, Bernard hits, you wasn't getting flagged for that.
Right.
The Wheaton hit by the safety. You wasn't getting flagged for that. The only time you was getting flagged if you hit him, then kind of stood over him. But you forget, it's football. It's a physical sport. That's what you playing the game for. And honestly, Burfict, he kind of let up. Because, look.
You think so?
No question.
Deion Sanders says the same thing.
He could have really gave it. It doesn't take much on a chin. Look at that. He could have hit him with his head. He hit him with a shoulder pad. And honestly, you're supposed to hit somebody with your shoulder. But if he would have led with his head, there's no telling what happened to AB. If he would have led with his head, it would have been – no. He hit him all shoulder pad. So you're taught now as a football player, they teach you when you're small, to hit with this. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he did.
Let me say this.
But is there any way he could have stopped?
No.
You can't stop in two steps. Yeah. I mean, that's what people are saying.
Yeah, you can't
How do you
stop.
Expect a man of his size running that speed to stop 1-2?
Check this out. Look at the safety when he hit Wheaton. Wheaton caught it, took three steps. The safety damn near stopped and just gave him a flipper. Bam. So I got to protect myself too. As a defensive player, you got to protect yourself because if he's coming in scared and you coming in scared, somebody going to get hurt.
Is that what that's called, a flipple?
A flipper. Bam.
Flipple.
Yeah.
Give him the flipper. Bam.
Just take a flipple.
You put that flip on, bam, you good.
Let it never be said that, see, even here in Studio 66, talking about this heated game, we never abandon the no-drive rule here.
Right.
Look, Ike Taylor of the Steelers, and his good pal is Antonio Brown.
That was good
And
football.
That was scary stuff, and yet you're still saying.
That's good football.
That's football.
That's
and
football.
And, Maurice, you had some really interesting thoughts on the game Burfict had.
Yeah, I mean, his stat line alone lets you know kind of how it went, how he played. He played magnificent. But I remember we played you guys in the playoffs, Ike, and we felt like we were the bullies in 2007. That was our mentality. And we knew going into Pittsburgh, it was going to be a two-chin-strap game. So you knew going in this what it was going to be. The league knew it. The refs knew it. Everybody knew what it was going to be. It was going to be a physical game. But I think a little bit guys got out of their head a little bit, right? So Pac-Man Jones trying to go after Joey Porter hits the ref, or Burfict was a little bit out of control and a couple other things. But still, it was a physical game where guys made some mistakes that cost them, right? So Big Ben scrambles out of the pocket when he really didn't have to. Scrambles into Burfict, gets sacked, gets hurt. Okay, you have McCarron throwing late to the flat, which we always talk about. Don't ever throw late to the flat because you're putting the receiver in a situation where he might not be able to protect himself. or you might throw a pick. You do that, hit, game changes, right? So there's so many different things that you saw in this game of intensity, emotion. Like, to me, I started getting goosebumps watching because I remember the rain's pouring down, fans are throwing stuff at people. I've been in those games before.
All right, let's try to talk about as many of these as possible. And I guess we'll just jump all over the place as they rise up here. First of all, the perfect play. It's a great interception.
Phenomenal.
And as I say in the Sheck report, the only thing that would have made that better is if the referees didn't whistle him down by contact and if he got up and thought he was down and ran the ball all the way through the other end zone and cost his team with the game-losing safety. Then I would have laughed and laughed forever. As it was, it's hysterical. As a Steelers fan, that will forever make me laugh that he did that with a minute and a half left and he still ended up losing
the game.
If he'd stayed
in the locker room, they probably would have won the game.
But come on. Ike, what did you think of that? React to that. Because I saw you earlier today in the hallway for the first time since the game, and we started to talk, and I said, you know what, I don't want to talk about it. Let's wait for the podcast, because I don't know what your thoughts are for real on any of the things that really went down there. I know, obviously, you're probably happy to see Pittsburgh advance, but beyond that, you keep it real. You say Burfict had a great game and all that. What did you think about Burfict getting up and running the ball there in that spot?
Nothing. He was celebrating.
All right, but he should have been flagged. That's a delay of game. They did it to Willie Gay earlier in the game for dancing.
Flag for what?
Because the standard is you can't excessively celebrate. You're running off the field with five of your teammates under the tunnel.
That's ain't nothing wrong with that.
I think it's funny. I don't care. I would be fine if you did that, but based on the rules, don't you have to flag it?
No, you can't flag the man for that because, honestly, that's his ball. So you need to hurry up and get a new ball.
All right.
The referees, so they getting off the field. The referee crew need to hurry up and get a new ball because that's his ball. He caught it, interception, bam, it's mine. I'm gone.
Well, now you're being crazy because that's a penalty.
How?
He runs 70 yards into his own.
Hey, listen, he's down by contact, right?
Right.
That's my ball, right? That's my ball. You know what? I'm about to go home with my ball.
Maurice.
I told you I fell, Shaq.
You like that.
I like stuff like that. Because
I like it, too, from a distance.
No, you don't like it because it was against the Pittsburgh Steelers. If it was against anyone else,
the Steelers have done that, you'd be –
They do it all the time. What do you mean?
I laughed when Willie Gay and Joey Porter did it the last time they were in
Cincinnati. Laughed, but you didn't laugh at that, though.
That's not funny, though.
No.
No, you're right. You're right.
A touchdown celebration.
No, now it's very funny.
No. After a touchdown celebration, it's excessive.
Right.
Bud Dupree can't be doing the same thing.
All right.
Will Gay.
But they got a flag for that.
Let Will Gay. They did it last time. Coach T don't care. He wants everybody to have their own kind of character. And we're the same guy on fire, Coach Tomlin. They losing. How you lose to the Ravens? Oh, we should get rid of Coach. Nah. You got to let your team have your own personality. These guys has their own
personality. I agree. And by the way, it's not fair to say I wanted Coach Tomlin.
Yeah,
I said if they lost to the Browns, if they lost to Austin Davis's Browns, if they finished with a playoff spot, losing to Ryan Mallett's Ravens and then to Austin Davis's Browns, then you have to really look at it. They didn't, so then it's not a –
They just signed him last year. They just gave him an extension last year.
All right.
You sound like one of the people that work here that was telling us that the Bengals should fire Marvin Lewis because he's 0-7 in the playoffs. I said, you know what?
I think that's something you have to think about.
Well, let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you about 8 Jacksonville coaches that I can name right off the top of my head that are 0-0 in the playoffs.
Right.
Why? Because they never made it.
See, Marv ain't the problem.
No.
You need them kind of guys. Marv can't step on the line. Like, he's in the white. He's behind the white on the sideline. These guys on the field got to be able to control their emotions.
But you just said about the Steelers players,
but the key,
and they have their character.
But the key is the quarterback always been the Achilles heel in the playoffs.
Always.
The quarterback.
I think that it's A.J. McCarron's loss that he takes officially the loss, lets Marv off the hook a little bit. I also think, and we talked about this a little bit over the weekend, Maurice, you know, everybody who's pointing out now, it's very easy, 2020 hindsight, to say this is on Marv because that's what you reap what you sow. You bring in guys like Vontaze Burfict and Pac-Man Jones, you get what you get. Those guys are that kind of way.
You know,
you know who else is like that?
2005.
That's right.
Peasy had an issue. James Harrison had an issue. I had an issue. And guess what we did? We won.
Hey, you know who else is in the league right now? A team called the Seattle Seahawks. Those guys play on the edge and across the edge. So this idea, there are going to be incidents that happen. Real quick, a couple of things. What did you think about about Joey Porter going out there. Do you think he had the forethought? I'm going to run out onto the field, and I bet you I can get Perfect or Pac-Man. I say no to that.
He checking on this guy.
Right. That's what I think. People are giving him a little bit too much credit. Like, I'm going to play head games, and they won't be able to restrain themselves.
I can tell you what happened. He went to go check on this guy, and the Bengals players were
probably
saying
something. What you doing on him?
Yeah.
What you doing on the field?
And he's going to be like.
And Pierce is like, who are you talking to? I'm not going to let you talk to me like that. Have y'all checked my resume? Because my resume, I don't do nothing on the field. I like to wait till the offseason. You check the Vegas resume? You check the Arizona resume? Like, you check the Denver resume? I don't do no talking. Check the Cleveland resume? I don't do no talking. We can do this off the field. That's one thing they got to check with Coach Pizza. Like, his off the field resume. He don't do no talking. And if you saw him, I like it because we all in this group text. I say, dang, Pizza, that's growth. But the old Pizza would have took off on the field right there.
Oh, if only we could scroll through that group.
You look at his face, like, I can't believe y'all trying me like this. He had that face, like, I can't believe this. Like 2005, man, when we came here, that's over. It's y'all opportunity. I'm sure y'all replaying that back. Oh, last time we played Pittsburgh at home, this what happened. It's over with, man. We won that year. So cool. Now y'all got an opportunity to win this year. And man, they blew it, man. You need 14 yards to get a field goal range. You get one personal foul, you give them 15. Then you get another personal foul, and you give them 30. So now it's a chip shot. That 50, man, I don't know if our kicker would have made that 50.
Boy, I'll tell you what, for a team that had kicking issues early in the season, Boswell didn't just make those kicks. If there were a bar that extended straight up in the middle, he would have hit that all four times. I mean, he drilled all four kicks. Big stuff. Last thing on this one, and maybe we'll circle back to this one, but we want to talk about Seattle and a couple other things here. What did you make of A.J. McCarron? I mean, this is what it is to – have in your head, have this, A.J. McCarron's only been there for 2 years, and yet, obviously, it's pervasive enough, this excuse-making and this, I don't want to say loser's mentality, but, I mean, his comments were really crazy after the game. And these are for real, too. Take a listen to A.J. McCarron's explanation for what went wrong out there.
Just the battle back, and as an offense, the way we did, and with the circumstances of the game, I guess it seemed every time we got the ball, it was pouring rain. Wasn't when they had it. I mean, just the weather.
Well, maybe the Bengals fans helped even things out by making it rain on Ben Roethlisberger with beer cans as he went out. What do you think of that, Ike?
That was my first time hearing that. I have never heard that.
It rained more.
He's young, and he's trying to, like –
He's trying to gather his thoughts.
Yeah. He's trying to figure out what happened. Because, really, in his mind, he won the game.
Yeah.
The game was over. Yeah. That's what he's thinking. Like, we won the game. I won my first playoff game.
16-15 before all that happened?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The game is over. I know we're good. Yeah. But you know what? I saw growth in him.
No question.
I agree. To pull that off.
I think you have a problem now. Because he's only played, what, four games? Including this one, four or five games.
Shout out to Bucky Brooks.
Shout out to Bucky Brooks, who said A.J. McCarron is Andy Dalton.
Yes.
Wait a second. That's fine to give a shout out to him. Who else said that? Your old pal Dave. That's who. Dig the tape up. I absolutely said that on more than one occasion. I said McCarron over Dalton.
You said that before the season. You weren't.
I said it when he got hurt, and the Bengals fans buried me in hate.
You're right. Shout out to Dave Demichek.
Check.
And Bucky Brooks.
All you have to do is say I said it to you. You didn't have to go.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I find it disrespectful.
I get it.
We do a lot of shows around here.
At the same time, you was right. Because AJ's looking real good. If you listen to the Denver Bronco players when they lost to Denver, in Denver. They said he wasn't rattled at all. Like, we thought we had him. We was hitting him a little bit, but he stood in the middle of that fire, man, and he was throwing them balls. Like, he didn't care.
And that's the one thing that Andy Dalton doesn't have. Mm-hmm. He don't have that.
I think the one thing that we've been deprived of, and then we're going to move on, but the one thing that the Bengals loss deprives us of is what would be a really fascinating decision for Marv Lewis. What if Andy Dalton said, all right, I'm ready to go now for the divisional round. Even if Andy Dalton wanted to go back in, even if he thinks I want to be in there, you got to save Andy from Andy because that's not a spot you want to be in.
But week one next year, Andy Dalton's a starter.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not gonna change.
He'll start a butch.
You're
know,
gonna,
well,
you're
know,
gonna start. You, wait, wait. You're gonna start having a conversation about how he shouldn't.
Only because of how much he gets paid. That's the only reason.
For that, but that's a good problem to have as a coach.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Well, somebody gonna trade for that kid.
Somebody,
because the quarterbacks are needed in this league.
Yes,
I could see him, them trading him or something.
So this offseason,
the man came down from 15-0.
Maybe Hugh will take him up to Cleveland or San Francisco, something like that. I don't know if the Bengals will want to deal him within the division. All right, let's talk about the other really compelling game. It was slow but frigid, so it was visually compelling watching that game from the Twin Cities, Minnesota. But then the second half, talk about, again, number of events. It wasn't as weird a second half, but there were a lot of big-time plays in that game. Final score 10-9. I think a little bit is being made. It's easy, again, after the fact to say, well, what you saw there, I heard some prominent sports voices saying today, well, what you saw was Russell Wilson ultimately is a better quarterback than Teddy Bridgewater. Huh? The Bridgewater took him down the field. The poor kid missed a 27-yard field goal. That's the difference in the game. What jumped out at you, Maurice?
I thought that if it was on an even playing field where there's no weather involved, Seattle would have blew him out.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it. That cold from Minnesota helped out a ton because you could see the difference in how the defense was playing. Cam Chancellor was getting worked in the passing game, even though we know he's a liability. But it seemed like it was just much worse. Like they were targeting him on that last drive.
Steve Weish told me, our pal here at NFL Media, said one, because he was up there. He said one after the game. Before the game, Cam Chancellor said, no, we're good. We've played in worse conditions than this. The field itself is heated underneath, so it's not that bad. After the game, Cam Chancellor said, we completely underestimated it. It was miserable out there. And, Maurice, you made a really interesting point. You could see in the second half, you said, watch these guys. You know how you can tell how cold it is? None of them wants to fall down to the ground.
Yeah, no one wanted to fall. Everybody was fighting to stay up. And when you see things like that, it was crazy. But we said it on Sunday, KJ Wright is the hero of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I think he doesn't get enough credit for what he does. He hits. He gets sacks. He's all over the place. I mean, this dude, he was the reason Adrian Peterson fumbles because he had his arm. He was holding his arm, and he had one arm out, and then Chancellor came and ripped it right there. He punched the ball out again. I mean, these guys.
Look at it on YouTube. If you're listening to us right now, go to YouTube and look for NFL and find the podcast. You can watch
Bruce Irvin, too, from West Virginia. He's finally becoming that first round that you've been looking for. He's able to stop the run, and you know for sure he's going to get to the quarterback.
The tear for me, and people love to talk about the Legion of Boom and the individuals within it, the guy to me that is I guess you could go all over the place with that defense, Bobby Wagner as well as KJ Wright. But, man, Michael Bennett is, to me, maybe the best defensive end in the NFL. And yet you never hear anybody talk about him in that way.
The best penetrator.
Yeah, he's just unstoppable. He always gets deep. Yeah, that's right.
He will get paid next year because this guy, he rushes from the outside. He can rush at the three technique. We talked about it. If they were going to go to Washington, he was going to destroy Washington's offensive line, similar to what he did against Minnesota's. I mean, when your guard can't block him because he's swimming or making quick moves, penetrating your running game. I mean, what AP had, 40 yards this week, 23 carries for 40
and
yards?
And a fumble. He demanded it. And I love, people love in sports. A lot of people love underdog stories. I like it when it counts, when you're the best guy on the team or you're the star of the team, and now everybody looks at you like, hey, please, come through for us, hero. And the guy rises to that because that's pressure, man. If you're an underdog, you're not supposed to do it. You're playing free. The weight of the world's on your shoulders when you ask for it. I love when guys come through in that. That, to me, is the best. Michael Jordan demanding the ball and then hitting the shot. Mario Lemieux, Ben Roethlisberger, obviously the guys I root for. But, that's what I think is the coolest, is in the clutch when the best players play clutch. And Russell Wilson, we're sitting there watching on Sunday this game, and the Vikings were about to kick a field goal, and Bucky Brooks said, if he makes this, the game's over. It'll be 9-0 going into the fourth quarter. And I said, man, I'm not to sound like a seer.
That. I said that.
I said, listen, Russell Wilson, and think about this. This is true. There's never been a playoff game that he's been in where he doesn't make a crazy second half play. He always makes some outside the box, weird play, like, whoa, who else could have made that play? And so it was even that backyard, though he drops the snap and it gets him down there, and that's what gets him into the end zone the first time. What do you think about Russell Wilson, where he is right now, Ike?
Man, he's cool, calm, and collective. You know, as a as a quarterback, man, you're allowed to have one bad game. So this is probably one of his worst games.
He was bad in Green Bay in the NFC title game against Green Bay.
He
came through in the fourth quarter again.
Over your six, and that's key. Because you got a lot of quarterbacks that play good the first three quarters, but I need you in the fourth quarter when it really counts, and that's that guy. But Russell Wilson, man, over the past 8 weeks, he's been hot. You know what I'm saying? Like, people keep talking, but it was 9-10. They didn't score a touchdown. And, yeah, they had an opportunity at the end, but, heck, man, if they ain't scoring a touchdown kicking field goals, I got to give a shout-out to their defense. It's just now we got to clean up on the offensive side. And if Beast Mode come back, it's a totally different
Team. Of all the possible playoff games, taking out my rooting interests, the game that is the most interesting, I'm glad that we're going to get this one. Right. Seattle at Carolina. Boy, that's going to be a dandy.
I
hope everybody is healthy on both sides so we see how this one shapes
out. The biggest thing is Bridgewater, he showed us growth, but not enough yet. Because when you get to the red zone three times, it can't be field goals. You have to score. Especially in the playoffs, you have to score a touchdown because things like this can happen. So you have to be able to protect your defense. Your defense played lights out all game. They gave up one play. The whole game they gave up one play, and it ends up biting them in the butt.
Yep. You know, real quick to just go back one thing because I'd be remiss not to ask you, Ike. Early in the week, any word, any sense from either Ben Roethlisberger or Antonio Brown about their availability on Sunday?
No, I ain't no word, but I can tell you this just from my opinion, they're both going to play.
You think so? No, Antonio Brown, though, he's subject to the concussion protocol.
Yeah, I'm cool with all that. But you only get one shot to get
I know, but he can't override that.
If he passes all his tests and they feel like he's able and he's clear, he playing.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. Roethlisberger, from what I gather, we talked to Kurt Warner. A lot of name dropping going on this show today, Maurice. But we talked to Kurt Warner, who knows a thing or two about slinging the ball. And he said that from, you know, that, you know, separated shoulder or maybe however you want to term what is going on with Roethlisberger. I've heard a couple of explanations of it. Bottom line is that it's it's compressed or whatever, is that it's going to be a pain issue for Roethlisberger. And he
does with pain well.
He likes the John Wayne things like he did on Saturday night. I'm going to give it a try and run out there. But
don't let that fool you.
He legitimately can play with pain.
He'll rock you to sleep. He'll rock you to sleep, then hit you with that knockout punch, bam. So don't let that fool you. What you gotta like about Ben is it's not gonna be on Ben. You got a deep threat guy in Martavius. You got one of your best receivers in the world if he playing Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. They're threats just in general. So the threat of them making a short pass or a deep play, that's gonna open up the offense anyway. So in Haley's case, he did the right thing. You know what? I'm gonna let all these just pay attention. I'm going to let all these guys run down the field, and I'm going to dunk it to these running backs. That's all that drive was. One-on-one matchups with the running backs and the linebackers. Three passes to the running backs. Bam, bam, bam. So them five-yard gains turned into 10, 7, 15-yard gains.
But that works. That works in limited – like he had whatever it was, 5 minutes to do that. That's not – a whole game of that, they're going to work that out pretty quickly.
You know Ben is capable of at least throwing the ball three times deep.
Yep.
So if he got a shot of throwing,
you need to
three
do
times,
that early on.
Scam early.
Yep.
With the speed that front seven of Pittsburgh is suddenly exhibiting in the last 6 weeks or so, Peyton ain't going to have a good time himself. But real quick, I want to go around and get this because I promised it. What's the worst loss you've ever had? Football terms, not in life.
Okay.
I could go on. One day I'll do the worst losses of my life just as a human being, and it'll go on for 17 hours.
Yeah.
It's going to be fascinating. Anyway, go ahead.
I think the worst one I've experienced, obviously I didn't play football. I don't know if you knew that. The Dolphins lost to the Bills 44-34.
Well, how you get a montage if you ain't played football?
How
you get a montage? Opening.
I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't have played football.
You're right.
You would get one too.
You're right.
The Dolphins lost to the Bills in the AFC Championship game. I think the year was 1993, maybe four, three, I think. And I had to listen to the game on a radio on Armed Forces Network, hanging out of my bedroom window. That was the only way you'd get reception for it. And then they lost, and I was like, great. I just spent 3 hours kind of contorted into a position to.
Didn't they lose 51-0 or something?
No, it was like 44-30. Something like that.
Yeah, Marine.
It was ugly.
That's that's an ugly mark on his resume. That he
That one. The one you're thinking about is when the Jags beat him 62-7 in his final game.
Congratulations on that, Maurice. Maurice Mike, you next. Worst loss for your team ever that you felt.
That Packers Super Bowl.
That was it. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That was the worst because I was on the other side. Confetti? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Let me go get my son. Put my son on the field. So now you're getting – excuse me, you got to get off.
By the way, off you go.
Excuse me, you're getting the ropes, and you see these other – the Green Bay Packers teams, man, they family, wives, sons, they running on the field, they smiling, and you looking back like, man, I've been there before, man. I get it. But as soon as you sit down in that locker and be like, dang, I just lost the Super Bowl.
Hmm.
And then everything just hits you like – get the crying, like your bottom lip get the
Eli. You got an Eli.
Your bottom lip get the shivering.
Oh, Eli was
the Eli.
Your bottom lip get the shivering.
Yeah.
And grown men just crying like babies. Like,
now I don't feel so bad when I get sad about a loss.
We lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because that would have been three for me. Three sound better than two. Don't get me wrong. Two cool.
Yes, it
two
does.
Cool. But three sound way better. That's what seven is chasing. That's why he's going to play.
I got news for you. I tweeted that the other day, and I know it's a big if, but if Ben Roethlisberger, we're going to do that on the next show.
You know what? I'm sorry. So Ben is like the Kobe. You can't do without Shaq. That's it. Everybody been saying. You can't win championships without Shaq. Kobe said, oh, yes, I can. Mm-hmm. Watch this. So Ben been known for having a good defense. Like, hey, Ben, you've been spoiled for the most part of your career. Your defense has been real good. So, yeah, you made a few plays, but all right, you cool. He has opportunity to win a Super Bowl, and it's all him.
Mm-hmm.
This is all
– You know what?
All seven.
And by the way, how many guys in here, when people bring that up about anybody, like, wow, that defense was so dominant for any QB who gets that. I mean, how many QBs, how many offenses win Super Bowls with just abject bum defenses? No, I mean, in history of football, it never happens. The San Diego Chargers never even got to a Super Bowl. You have to have some. They can't just be garbage out there. Maurice, how say you? Worst loss ever.
Worst loss ever was my first loss in college. First game of the year. We played Colorado. I never lost in high school. Never lost. I didn't know what it was to lose in high school. To
That's crazy.
Game. And we lost the first game of the year, and I fumbled the kickoff. It was the worst thing ever.
Now, when you were at UCLA, you were known as Sharmon Shah, right?
What's that?
Oh, no, I'm thinking of another running back from UCLA. That's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
I was making a wise call.
I know you were. That was a good one. Dolphins, right?
I don't know. I thought it was cute.
You played for
the Dolphins.
That was
a cute joke.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. No,
I remember first becoming aware of you watching you play a game up in Washington, and you had a great game, and I thought it was a neat story because you originally were Maurice Drew, and then you added Jones hyphen Drew to honor your grandfather.
Yep.
That was neat.
Yeah, I lost my first game, Shaq. Cried like a baby.
My worst loss is the 2004 AFC title game, the second in 3 years to those same New England Patriots. The first one was a ridiculous upset that was fluky. The second one, the Steelers were 15-1. Ben Roethlisberger was a rookie. No rookie had ever taken his team to a Super Bowl, so that would have been a bit of history. The Steelers were 15-1. Only the Minnesota Vikings hadn't won the Super Bowl with a record that good. Meantime, the New England Patriots had won two Super Bowls, and, you know, like you say, three's better than two, Ike. In history, there have been some teams, a precious few, that have gotten two rings. It's a different stratosphere when you get into that small club in the NFL of a team that's won three Super Bowls. So the Steelers could have kept the Patriots out of that conversation.
Right.
And it was a misery. And talk about cold. It was 1 degree at kickoff. How do I know? Because I was in the stands that day. That game made me sick. I walk with a limp to this day, and I always will. No matter whatever happens, I'll always be sad about that one.
Good old Troy Brown.
That play right there, if a first play of the fourth quarter, Plexico Burress on third down, almost gets it on third and goal from the one. He catches that. It makes it a 7-point game. Steelers win.
That was my second year, 04. Pittsburgh, the city, was cracking. We couldn't do no wrong. We had the keys to everything. Just think of something. Okay, we had the keys to that. you think of something else. Oh, yeah, we had the keys to that. Like,
I think it was the same thing.
Yeah. It was crazy.
People talk about L.A., a team's going to move to L.A., maybe two. Miami, the fans, when they have other things to worry about, they aren't as into it. I don't know if I buy that, although Miami and Atlanta are really perennially not great sports towns. And Green Bay, Pittsburgh,
Miami's
Chicago.
Miami's a great sports town.
No, it's not.
Are you kidding me?
If their teams aren't good, then nobody goes to those games. You've seen a Marlins game lately? They're about 11 people.
They should have never built that stadium. There's not enough. No one watches.
No one goes to see the Hurricanes. Some people see the Dolphins. Florida Panthers. The Heat. If they're good, then people see them. People like them when they had LeBron, sure.
Stars came out when LeBron and D.
That's what I'm saying. When you get you a team.
Point is, these towns that rally around, and like I said, it's not a coincidence, too, that cold really helps fans buy into football games because now it's a shared experience. The Vikings fans went out there, and they sat in 3.5 hours, 4 hours of that.
That was crazy.
Minus 15. It makes you feel like you're connected. Even if the players don't reciprocate that, you feel like as a fan sitting out there, I'm going through.
Check, you was out in that?
I was at that game, yeah.
We respect that even more because we're running around. You got to
see. Oh, yeah, we're sitting there. Right. Yeah.
I'm not doing
that. I'm going to respect that all day. I'm not going to do it.
I'm going to watch you from
the Fortunately, I was dead inside by the second, by the halftime, because after Tom Brady threw that one over Polamalu's head.
That good old Troy Brown.
I don't like any of it. I don't want to get into that. Instead, let's laugh at other people who had a traumatic experience on Sunday, specifically Minnesota Vikings fans after Blair Walsh missed that field goal. Let's take a quick look at that.
You dead wrong, Shaq.
Oh my God!
He missed! Oh my!
Oh my God!
What am I wrong about?
Hey, he went into the fetal position.
That's sad.
Black tie.
Why would
black
you do that?
Do something
that
like
I don't
awesome.
Know. Black tie. Thought it would be a funny thing to look at. I haven't seen it.
I know.
I've never seen a kid that big just go back and he just like curled.
He went back to his mama.
He just went back.
He went back to his mama.
I've never seen anything like
that.
I
ain't never seen nothing like that before you.
I didn't know. When you play, you hear about the stories of fans and things like that, but I really didn't know people were like into that. Like it's crazy to see.
That doesn't seem weird to you?
Has it been eye-opening being with Dave on a Sunday
Shaq,
watching
Shaq is the worst.
Steelers?
Yeah, Shaq is the worst.
I mean, that's pretty typical.
Week 17, Shaq stopped hosting the show and started watching the Bills Jets game because that's what it was all about to him. It was more about him.
I'm a man of integrity. Yeah. You're not going to wash up. What have I said before? This doesn't exactly apply here, but listen, I love Football America. I love the U.S. of A. But you know what? Black and gold over red, white, and blue. That's where I come down. You don't like that? No apology coming.
I can dig that.
You know what? Black tie, the reason Handsome Hank seated way over there is because Black tie said, well, we have too much white in the middle. Right. And Handsome said, well, that makes us like an Oreo, which would be right. But Black tie felt it should go white, black. I always say it. I don't care if you're black or white. I just care if you're black and gold.
That's what you say?
Yeah, that's
whole that's a long way for that joke.
That's not a joke.
You went a long way for that.
Joke.
He set that up.
Yeah.
Joke.
He's spent a long time setting
I've never been more serious about anything in my life, Handsome Hank.
He set that up. That was the setup?
That was the setup.
That was no setup.
That's like what you were saying about Ben throw deep early in the game.
Handsome
and Ike, be careful with yourselves. You're both about to be put. I'm about to drop the yellow flag, and you'll be banned from 66 for a week.
All right.
Now, let me ask you something. That's how we'll have to do.
You know, if you ban Ike, I can't come, right?
I'm going to ask Maurice real fast. Pick one wild card team from this weekend that has the best chance to win.
Kansas City.
I'm with you on that one. Even though Jeremy Macklin's out, I think the matchups.
They slapped him without Jeremy Macklin last year.
I think they can bang around that defense a little bit on the ground. Ike?
Oh, man. I got to go with Seattle.
Seattle, yeah.
It's a good one.
Savvy pick, sure.
I know you've been waiting for this. I'm going to say the Seattle Seahawks as well.
You know what I wanted to ask? It's his best team to hear. Say it again.
Seattle Seahawks.
The Seattle Seahawks.
I know you like that.
My other one, when Ike said what was falling from the Cowboys Stadium when the Packers won the Super Bowl, what was that falling?
It's confetti.
Confetti!
You know, I don't pronounce all my words.
Confetti. That's why I love the
that's
two
what
you see
it's
next
confetti.
To each other.
Yeah.
Not a confetti.
Well, I say tree.
I say tree, too.
You say tree?
Yeah.
Give me three of them.
He says three.
I'll say it again and just real fast, and we'll talk about it on our next show this week. But I do think the one thing the Steelers have going for them in this matchup, the best thing they have going for them is the way Shazier and Timmons are playing, that speed right up the middle, if they can get some heat on 18, he doesn't like that.
I thought Todd Haley listened to our show. Because we said, Ty, just keep it balanced. Mm. Like, you got to run the ball. Mm-hmm. And he had 21 rushes, 31 passes.
Yep.
And the running backs rushed for over 100 and total.
Tubman looked dangerous.
171.
Oh, yeah, Tubman can go.
But them guys had confidence during the week. If you listen to the coaching staff mm-hmm. and even the players, they like, look, we know Leia's out. We know D'Angelo out. But we got two guys that we like, two young guys that we like. And they showed a little bit
Little thunder and lightning, as a matter of fact, with that. And it's a credit to what Munchak's done with that offensive line.
Correct.
If you don't know the story of Alejandro Villanueva, look it up. It's a nice story. Pouncy, if you love your red and blue.
Yep. Beecham, been out. These two starters. And they wind up making it to the playoffs. And the offensive line been playing solid.
All right. And lastly, we're not killing best catches, Black. Ty, don't tell me we're going to rap.
Why would we?
We were talking about football, Black Tie. Black Tie's upset because he feels like we've talked a little bit too much Steelers. Black Tie,
what's his team?
Be a man and say it into the microphone so everybody can hear you. What do you? Why you whisper it in my ear? Why do you tell me about it?
That's his team.
Way too much Steelers talk.
Whoever winning.
Whoever's winning is Black Tie's team.
Yeah, he's from
it's
Atlanta.
Hard to say.
He's from Atlanta, but he said
I think
he's
a Panthers fan.
Can we not
then he said he's a Seahawks
guys,
fan.
As flat as I am, let's not make the show about me. Let's focus here.
As what as you are?
As flat as I am, let's not make
Black
the show
Tie,
about me.
Black Tie. But for real, I don't like you perpetuating this thing like, well, Dave only wants – this was the weirdest football game I've ever seen. And we did the same amount of talk about the Seattle Packers game last year, too, because that was – to that point,
well,
that was about the weirdest game I've ever seen.
That was as weird as it got.
And you're extremely saddened that you're, you know, your closet
I
Packers
I was sad because I was rooting for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, closet Packers fan.
We haven't bothered with the Aaron Rodgers story this week, although I do encourage you – out of self-promotion. Go dig up my piece. I got to talk to Kirk Cousins in our nation's capital.
Oh, did
about
he?
The I like
he didn't like he didn't like this
he didn't like
this
the
game.
End
he didn't like the way this game went against
like
Aaron Rodgers. He did demur.
We didn't like that
Your
we didn't like that
was horrendous.
You thought he specifically
he didn't play well he didn't play well. Even if the game was over, you never get sacked on fourth down. And when you're going in to score, that's like cardinal rule. You throw it up and give somebody opportunity. You saw what he did. He took a sack.
I'll tell you this.
You're worried about something more than that.
I wouldn't pretend that I know anything about the man Kirk Cousins because I spent 10 or 15 minutes talking to him.
He changed your life
last
bro.
Week.
Confidence.
Well, we did talk to him on the phone once a couple years ago too. But let me just say something to you. I have a pretty good radar. I have a pretty good radar for if somebody's full of it or if they're a nice guy or you know if they're being sincere or they're BSing. I'm fairly good at that. And, man, there's just something about him. And I said to him before we started, I said, you're the anti-Marino or Peyton. You know, you don't yell at your guys. You're so encouraging. That's what I would – if I were on your team, that you're the only guy I could play with. If you're like, you're the best in the business, fella. Like, that's the way he is. And at the end of the interview, it has nothing to do with the quality of the interview. You can just tell this is how he is. He said, like, I said, hey, good luck on Saturday night. I appreciate the time. He's like, hey, can I tell you? I thought you did a really good job here, that you were really professional and really well prepared. Nice job. I mean, nobody gets up from interviews and does that. You're about to go play a big playoff game. He's busy with complimenting me. He seems like a nice guy.
We saying it's big. You know, as analysts, we looking at it like big. Don't forget, he was on the big stage in Alabama. You know what I'm saying?
So who,
was
Kurt?
Michigan State. I'm sorry. He was on a big stage at Michigan State. So, I mean, the guy, three-time all-captain of his team. Mm-hmm. So, he know how to lead his
team. The anti-Connor Cook, in other words.
Yeah,
exactly
who he is.
But, yeah, he just was super, super nice. But, anyway, you can look that one up online if you care to hear.
That's
the
way to plug yourself.
You
there
like
you go,
that.
Check. You stay dropping dimes.
I'm named. This whole show is devoted to name dropping.
As although it should. It's your show.
I really want to see that group text message with you and all the Steelers on there. That'd be the best.
It's just some things I can't let you
all see. Right, fair enough. Let's get to it then. I feel like in the midst of this crazy Saturday night game, that Martavis Bryant catch, and people still, Bucky Brooks for one of them, says it wasn't a catch. I don't know how he had possession of it. I looked at that, you know, pretty thoroughly. It does look to me like he legitimately controls that ball, weird as it is, against the back of his lower bum. Maurice, how say you on that catch?
I say he got it. I said it's probably one of the greatest of all time. I think I tweeted you, huh?
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah, I tweeted Ike and
that was
like,
on top, that was
top five catches.
I said that's going to be number one.
You think so? Ike, that ranks ahead of the Odell catch? Well, let's take a – you know what? We have a little montage here. Here's some of your
montage.
Candidates. Oh, this is Martavis first here. So let's give everybody watching on YouTube or on NFL.com a chance to see it.
Listen.
I thought he had dropped it. I was cursing him for a moment.
You don't understand. Look, in a couple of seconds, the guy had the nerve to flip over.
That is the craziest part about
it.
And he's still catching it when he's standing up there.
That sort of –
in whole position.
That instinct of – I mean, there's sometimes when I'm walking down the street, this happens to me periodically. Sometimes I'm just walking down the street and I think to myself, oh, you know what? I'm going to do a handstand and walk down the street on my hands. And just before I jump into doing it, I realize, oh, I don't know how to do a handstand.
Hey, he's flexible.
His instinct was like, I got – the only way I can keep this ball is to spin my body over. He could do it. That was insane.
In the world we live in where every weekend stuff that looks like a catch isn't a catch and stuff that doesn't look like a catch is whatever, that way around. That to me, I don't know how that is a catch in some of the catches you've seen during
the season. What do you mean? Because he possessed it. It never was jarring. It was never jarring.
So he had possession even.
It moved all over the place. One time it was here, then it was on his butt,
But once he had it on his butt, he took two steps. And then when he landed, the ball didn't – he didn't switch hands.
Let me first show you this montage. But for the record, he pins the ball against his lower butt with his right foot still down before it comes
up. Hamstring, not lower
butt. Right hamstring.
Call whatever you want to. First, let's take a look at who are the candidates for what, I don't know, greatest catch of all time, but at least catches I've seen in my lifetime.
Come on, Black Tie.
Down the middle, reaching up. Doug Baldwin, one hand.
A one-handed stab.
And they roll a good catch at the Dallas 60-yard line.
Wait a minute.
Freeman picked it up. It's down. Packers win.
Pass for Holmes is caught.
Wide open Tyree, who makes the catch.
Touchdown, Martavis Bryant, right corner of the end zone.
An unbelievable one-handed 43-yard touchdown grab.
Martavis Bryant has the best catch.
Hey, I'm going to have to disagree. I'm going to have to either say the David Tyree with bra all over his back stuck to your helmet, or I'm going to have to go with that Antonio Freeman. That was just amazing because he got up and scored off that one.
Right.
You know, the ball bounced around, hit his foot. He had the awareness to get up.
That one's fluky. I feel like that's not
– they're all fluky. Oh. I haven't seen Odell catch another ball with three hands. You haven't seen – three fingers. I'm sorry. Three hands. But look at this. Look, the DB drops it. He taps it with his hands, catches it, then gets up, has awareness.
Well, the Freeman catch, and again, I stress, go to YouTube and you can watch this DDFP.
Was that Brian Williams?
But the thing that was weird, I agree with you, Handsome, that there's a fluke factor to the Freeman one, same as the Javon Kearse catch with a minute left in last year's Super Bowl. The thing with Freeman, though, was he was lucid enough that he watched that the ball come out of the DB's hands, and he did have the sense to reach out there and get there. It didn't just land on him. The Kearse one was a little more fell into his lap, but nevertheless, that's a crazy one. The Tyree one is remarkable, but again, there's a weird fluke factor to that one.
He caught that with his hands and the helmet.
Yeah.
If I was going to say a pure
with
catch.
With Rodney Harrison pulling his arm.
It's another helmet catch shooting that sparked this guy's career.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
I can't go from here to here because they're going to say it's incomplete. They're going to say I have no control.
That boy held like
I'm going to leave it up here.
Stick it there.
I'm going to leave it right there. 2 feet in. Bam, bam.
That's your favorite catch ever?
Why it's not on the top five?
I let Black Tie cut this together for us on a whim, and he got a lot of it.
Jarvis Landry had a pretty good one 2 weeks ago.
No.
Oh, stop it. Jarvis Landry has no place in here.
I think Randy Moss is, too, with that post. I mean, he caught it and left it there.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that is good. Revis.
And that was a Revis, too.
Revis.
So?
Well, that matters.
Revis wasn't even close to him when he caught that.
So he whipped him. That's
bit him off the line and put his hand up, and then Revis acted like he pulled
a black tie. Black tie.
Black tie.
Work on your jump shot.
I think that was
Black Tie being messy.
I feel like Black Tie, you're right about that one, because that does have like an Eric Dickerson quality to it, which is to say it looked so easy. It was so casual the way he did it.
He never touched it with his second hand, and Revis was talking smack all week leading up to that matchup, too. So it was sort of like
slow.
Boy, that ball, that's a deep ball, and it hits his hands and never moves the second it hits
never
his fingers.
Never touches it in the second hand.
Sure didn't.
Yeah. That
touched his body.
Hey, Randy, like one of the great all time.
Yeah, but did you see the Rand 30 for 30?
Yep.
That when him and Marshall, I never saw his college tape. I never got a chance to watch it.
Was a monster. Be loved.
The reason Chad Pennington got drafted.
Because of him.
Yeah, he
because he was taking screens to the house. That's what people don't understand. He was taking receiver screen passes
to the crib.
To the How his stride be this?
He's big. He looked like he was playing.
His stride be this room long.
Right.
He would vault guys, and it would look like they were standing on their feet, and it would look like he jumped them like they were one of the hurdles in the.
And he kept doing it this first year in Minnesota. He didn't look like he didn't stop.
That's a conversation we'll have in the offseason, who's the best receiver of all time after Jerry Rice, and I think it probably would be Randy
after
Moss.
Who?
But in the meantime, Jerry Rice, of course.
I mean, Jerry is.
I'll tell you what, though.
Antonio
Brown is on pace to be in that conversation if he keeps this up for another season or two. Antonio Brown against the Bears, the year you guys were 0-3 on Sunday night and the Bears came in, or words at 0-2. He made a catch in the back of the end zone that deserves recognition as well. Let's go around now. What's your favorite, Maurice? Best catch you've ever seen?
Out of all those, or just
whatever you want. If you want to go off the board, go off the
board.
No.
I mean, I'm going to have to go with that's tough. I'm going to have to go with Freeman. I thought Freeman just
– Antonio, that's a fair –
because it was a big game. It's a rival. I mean, to may have the wherewithal to catch the ball and then get up and score, that means a lot.
Black tie behind the glass, you're going to go with Odell Beckham.
I think it's Odell Beckham. It's not even close. I think we're just doing a hipster thing here by trying to act like it's –
oh, that's ridiculous.
Like
it's, doing it's, hipster.
There's a reason why that character was what it was. I mean, that's. I don't think it's close.
Well, no, Brandon Lloyd, for the record, stabbed one with the inside hand. Yes. That was a more of a bullet of a pass when he was where was he?
Denver.
Yeah, in Denver. He made a couple crazy catches that year, but that one was should be
That's
in there as well. That was a great catch, handsome.
Don't
do Jarvis Landry.
I'm not going to
do
Jarvis Landry. I could do Brent Grimes' interception against Megatron last year.
That was a great one.
But I'm not going to do that. For me, of the ones that you showed, I think that's Santonio Holmes' catch in the Super Bowl because of the moment it happened in. And I think the throw was just as good as the catch. But that gives me chills every time I watch that one.
How about if in fact, I mean, obviously this is opinion-based, but that it was basically the same ball from the same distance thrown by the same QB. If you said Martavis Bryant and Santonio Holmes are the two greatest catches, that they would be thrown by the same right arm. Ben Roethlisberger is who I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I'm not sure where you're taking it apart.
I don't know. But I do think that people sleep on that Santonio.
Well, I don't know if he got
you're adding
down,
context to this. No, that's a great catch if it happens in the third week of preseason.
Just the position of the ball over three defenders in the exact
awesome
spot.
It don't matter.
It was in
you made it, but I don't know if he got that second one down.
Yes, he tucked.
It was
tucked.
It was tucked on his shoe. Watch it.
Little toe.
But you watch it. Is it a great look? It's on his shoe.
Great.
It is not on his shoe.
Watch it. Watch his shoe.
You're going to be on my shoe in a minute. I don't like that.
Look at the grass.
It doesn't matter. Ain't nothing you can do. It's over.
They've instructed Black Tie to cut the shoe off.
Look, it's on his shoe.
No, it's not. There are close-up images that show both of his toes on the ground simultaneously.
And, Dave, you think that catch gets remembered if it happens in week four of the regular season? Because you just said context doesn't matter.
All right, that's a fair point.
I don't even think it comes up in this conversation if it didn't happen in Super Bowl.
All right, you know what?
Anybody can catch the ball one-handed in a regular game. People do it all the time.
I hear that.
You saw Jordan Reed do it, right?
I hear you. But now if you're not talking athleticism, just pure physical ability. But if you say what's the best catch in Super Bowl history, by definition you're adding context to that. To me, people like to say the Tyree catch or some of those Lynn Swann catches in Super Bowl X. To me, the Santonio catch is easily the best.
And I think as well, people keep talking about Super Bowl
49. 42 seconds left, and he reaches out.
He's hanging out. That's the best Super Bowl.
That's the best.
David Tyree had – can I jump on your back?
Those are the two best
plays.
James Harrison. Go ahead.
I want to jump on your back while Ike throws you the ball and see if you can catch it. And then I'm going to rip at it.
I think I made it clear. I'm too meek to make it, but I could lead one drive.
No,
if you keep me clean.
No, I
got to be kept
in the cold weather. Let's put you out there in
that
cold
weather. Ike is going to throw you the ball. Can you catch it and keep it there?
No, but okay.
Dave has a 2-inch vertical anyway.
I'm a pot-belly Jew. Who cares what I can do?
Martavis Bryant got the best catch, man.
Yeah, I think it would be hard
to catch the ball with somebody on your back.
Martavis Bryant, Ike Taylor. You're a defensive back, so your vote counts
Ike's
most.
Ike's pick against Seattle is probably one of the top two. They didn't have that.
I enjoyed that one.
That's the best catch, I think.
My favorite catch, the Martavis one.
The man had the nerve to understand if I juggle this ball or try to move it anymore, they're going to call that incomplete. So you know what? I'm a tuck. I'm going to tuck and hold the ball. Referee got his hands up. Oh, so the referee understood, too, that it was a catch. I had possession when I fell. Touchdown. Look at this.
I mean.
Look at it.
I'm inclined. Maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment, but I really do kind of agree with you, Ike.
Look at this. Now, if this was in the Super Bowl.
Let me tell you something.
Then we'll really be
Odell Beckham, as
not
improvised
still,
as that scene.
Still. When's it?
Odell
when
Beckham
it
deserves
still?
Great Kevin, praise for Kevin working and thinking outside the box in his training rituals. I mean, he really does. But he practices those one-hand catches, so kudos to him for having the foresight to practice that and be able to make a special
that's
play.
That's instinctive.
That's pure. That's exactly
you,
right.
You can't practice that.
That
you
is.
Practice that.
He just improvised that in that. The blink of an eye and somehow flipped himself. Oh, that was great. I mean,
you don't practice.
It's impossible for me to fathom how you would do that, how your brain works that fast and your body listens. I mean, I've been out playing 3-on-3 plenty in my life and thought like, oh, you know, it's nice. Like I see that guy flashing. I'm gonna no look pass it to him. But by the time I can make my hands get the ball and make the pass, a defender is closed that off. The ability to feel that like this is what I need to do and do it before,
that's
you know,
crazy.
Shaq, is it possible?
I can't even put it into words clearly.
Is it possible to separate the actual catch from like essentially the landing?
No, because the landing is
the catch.
That is the catch. It's not the same. It's not like a run after the catch. It is intrinsic to it. He possesses the ball by the time he's already almost into his dive by the time he possesses the ball.
And he kept it there.
Right. It's crazy.
That's crazy he tucked like that.
So I think we settled nothing, although we got two votes for Martavis Bryant. So that wins
Pittsburgh
it.
Pittsburgh Steelers guys.
Yeah.
Level
charges all you want, Maurice.
I'm just keeping it honest.
I don't know if I like
I
now.
I know this ain't the couch, but Shaq, you got to keep it 100.
Well, congratulations. Now, Handsome and Ike maybe will have company named Maurice Jones-Drew. You might all be banned now.
And that's your favorite
disrespect.
Type of show is you just talking.
I don't like I not, that disrespect. Whoa. I won't stand for.
Whoa.
You know what? There was some good trash talking in the green room on Sunday, though, while we were watching the game. Kurt Warner was in there, and I brought up the fact that Ike and Black Tie had recently played basketball against one another.
Right.
I said, Kurt, I understand you're a great, not good, a really, really great basketball player, Kurt.
Kurt Warner's not trash-talking anyone, though, is he?
Well, so I brought up the
quarterback.
Fact. I said, we got to get a one-on-one.
He messed it, too. He messed it.
Alley-oop. I'm going to let me tell him what happened.
I said, let's play a one-on-one tournament this year at NFL Media. Let's have it. Let's
lights
see
up like, oh, yeah, I can do it. But we already know Kurt has a hoop court in his house in Arizona, and they say there's certain rules at his house. Like, you can't foul Kurt.
Yeah.
You got to let
wins.
Him go to the rim. You know, when he calls foul, you have to. No. When we're here, you're going to have to earn the ball from me. I that's just how it's going to be. I'm going to foul you until you tell me you don't want to play anymore.
All right. Marie says that's what's going to happen to you, Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner says, oh, I'm all right with you hitting me around the belly button. I just am worried about getting hit up on the arms and shoulders, but that's not a problem with you, Maurice.
He doesn't think I got bounced.
He made a short joke.
Yeah, I mean,
stealing
like, that's
some of my bets.
That's one of the things that gets me. Like, Kurt, you're old. Like, come on, the short jokes are like almost about the same age as you.
Oh, it made me laugh. But, I laugh.
Well, yeah, you laugh at everything because you like to stir stuff up. But then when I told him, I said, I was like, I'm a competitor. And he goes, he's a competitor. And then I chuckled, like, ah. You're a quarterback.
And you said, no, Kurt, I got a fire inside me. And Kurt's response.
No, I said, before he said, I said, deep inside, it's a little stuff covering it. And then he goes, he has a couple layers. And I'm like, all right. I'm like, okay. I'm not messing anything. I'm just covering the story. I said, okay.
Covering the story.
We'll settle it on the court. So when I go, I'm just going to let you know, I'm going to black out like Will Ferrell in the movie. I'm going to foul the hell out of him. He's going to get all mad. I'm going to be like, I told you. Because you're not going to back me down. I'm not Black Tie. You're not just going to put me in the paint. Like, that's where I live. I live in the trenches.
What
like,
you
I
don't
like
want
this,
is Kurt Warner chasing you around like Black Tie has been chasing Ike around, telling you how it should have happened, how it could have happened, all that stuff.
In the first annual Black Tie Invitational one-on-one tournament, who is the number one seed, Black Tie?
Number one seed in the NFL building?
Everybody who we work with. And don't say yourself because that would be embarrassing.
From what I've seen, I might have to go Bucky Brooks.
Bucky said he's afraid of tearing an Achilles.
Well, if assuming no healthy, I would go Bucky.
I think you're way off.
I might go Nate number two.
Number two.
Bucky played in college, though.
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah, Bucky played on the JV team. The JV team in North Carolina, which is like –
legit.
I played on my JV high school team. Does that make me a favorite?
No. not the North. I mean, he played against like some NBA guys.
Yeah. And Nate's brother plays in the league. He's a coach.
But that don't
Rockets
mean Nate.
Too.
That don't mean Nate.
Is that right?
No, he got scholarships and whatnot. Nate could have played.
What about I think you guys are missing somebody named Akbar Bajabia Miller.
Akbar can't play. I think he can play.
And he's 6'5".
But he's
got those long arms.
He's finesse. I'd be more nervous to play Willie than I would.
Yeah, I was gonna say Willie.
Yeah.
I was just going to say he's the other one that would be scary. But Akbar's got – I mean, he's
– But he's too finesse.
About as young as you guys.
Akbar's finesse. He's not like
– How you ever played ball with him? I see him drop the hammer on me. It felt pretty physical to me when he hammered me.
I can tell by the way he pass rushed Iztok, because if he was a real dog, he'd have took Iztok and threw him into you.
Then that would have been humiliating for two people. Who have
exactly.
Maybe LT is will have it as well.
I think
LT could bring some.
LT?
Yep.
I heard Damian
Tomlinson?
Yes. I heard he could play.
Why y'all sleeping on him?
What?
I would take Maurice over LT. I don't know. I just get the sense that Maurice.
I played freshman basketball and quit halfway through the season.
2-on-2, I like me and MJ.
Oh, all day.
Oh. I'm going to be the post guy for sure. I'm going to be the postman.
Oh, 2-on-2. Now we're
I'm going to be the postman.
That's what we need to
do. We're going to have a 2-on-2 tournament.
You know what else I want to do? Another thing I think would be a fun thing, battle of the NFL Network stars. I think that's what we should do, too, a series of events. Decathlon style. But
I ain't running, Shaq.
No, I win it.
Just relevant events. 50-yard dash, who can throw a ball the farthest, connect four.
Bowling.
I'm going to win it.
Bowling. Closest to the pin.
Ooh, close. Oh, I like that.
Chicken wings. How many chicken wings you can eat?
You're being silly.
Hey, I know last time I checked in 2015, I played 1-on-1. I'm 1-0. That was the last time
I remember in 2014. No, in spring of 2015, you also played. You had a shooting contest, a free throw shooting contest to Dave Damashek.
That's like all you could do is shoot, though, Shaq. You're a shooter.
That's, you know what? I know what I'm good at. I'm a sharp shooter.
So I'm both have winning records. What's Black Tie's record is?
I'm a lot like, you know what, I'm a lot like Maurice. You know, they like to do that with kids that are about to get drafted. They provide a pro comp who he's most like. When I watch NBA basketball, I see a lot of me and Kyrie Irving. You know, like Kyrie Irving, he's a great perimeter player, but he can create his own shots. And that's my thing.
Shaq, chill out.
You got to stop.
Time to pull the plug.
Hey, say Uncle Drew. You ain't Uncle Drew, Shaq.
You got to stop.
Maybe not. Uncle Jew. All right. Maurice Jones-Drew, Handsome Hank, Ike Taylor, what a time. We're going to be back with another podcast for you. We'll tell you who's going to win these divisional round games, whole bunch of other hooey and applesauce. Meantime, make sure you're watching Maurice and Ike Taylor. The accolades are flowing in. A lot of people outside the building, inside the building, more and more every day taking note. Maurice Jones-Drew, Ike Taylor, people saying, have you noticed how good these guys are, how entertaining they are, how informative they are? It's all over the place. The bosses say it to me. I say, I disagree. But, all right, everybody can have their own opinion.
Check. Honestly, you got me here, and I appreciate that.
No. You, untrue.
You did.
Untrue.
You went to bet for me.
That's right. No, Handsome really liked you better than I did. But anyway, all right, listen, we'll be back with more picks and, you know, what's going to be in Denver and Charlotte, North Carolina, and Foxborough. Massachusetts. What was the other one? Oh, Phoenix at Glendale, Arizona. Oh, it's going to be awfully good. I can hardly wait.
Find out more on the next DDFP.
What's up, everybody? Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks from Move the Sticks. Bucky, for those that haven't listened to our show, tell them what it's about.
Two former NFL scouts, about 20 years of experience looking at the game from a different perspective, really digging into the personnel evaluations and also some of the team matchups.
Also going to be focusing on the draft as it gets closer. And you can check out our show on NFL.com/podcast. You can find it on iTunes as well as YouTube on the NFL channel. Just pump in Move the Sticks.